tonight. We want God to have his way, to move by his spirit. We're closing out a calendar and closing out a year. And the potential, the vast resource of God for the next year is incredible. And there's, no matter what you've been or done over the past year, there's nothing you can do about that right now. Get it under the blood. Get your head up. Let's make our way into a new year full of the good things of God. Praise God. Now, just a few preparatory remarks. If you weren't here this morning, you need to know that Zach has proposed to Gabby, and Gabby has said yes. That's right. And that Antoine's proposed to Siri, and she's not here. She's a continent away. Goodness gracious. Thank God for the Wright brothers. I just had a vision of you in a Conestoga wagon making your way. Tristan, can we get one of those tabernacle shots? This morning we're dealing with the showbread, the Word of God in the tabernacle, the Word of God as presented. You can see the long table there in the first interior room, the table of showbread. We worked on that this morning. That is indicative of the Christ, but it is the bread of God for all those who are involved in the process of the redemptive plan of God, exactly what Brother Stephen's talking about tonight. Tonight, we're going to work with the candlestick on the other side. Looks like the modern-day menorah. But that's where that design comes from. It's what God gave Moses on Sinai. And all of this tonight is filled with import for us. Because when Jesus dies on the cross, the veil of his body is torn. The veil in that temple is torn. The glory of God is released into all the world. And now everything has changed. It's not in Jerusalem. It's not in Samaria. But it's in those that worship God in spirit and in truth. As Jesus was the tabernacle, now you are the temple of the Holy Ghost. As Jesus was our high priest, now you are a royal priesthood, Peter says, and you're ministering to the world around you. And so all that this process did for Israel, Jesus was in the incarnation, and you are as the church of the living God tonight. And so the bread that came from heaven was the Christ. But now the bread, as just like he said, you are the light and you are the salt, you are the bread. And you're to be blessed and broken, and you're to be fed to the multitude. And there's a miracle in you. He's talking about at every school, at every university, I would say on every job. No longer is the ministry tied up in this little location here for a singular nation, but now ministry is all over the world, and it's everybody that's filled with the Holy Ghost. And so your ministry is in your place of vocation. It's with those that you work with every day. It's in your school. It's in your neighborhood. It's you are the bread and you are the light. We're going to be working on light tonight. The bread in this tabernacle presentation is the Word of God. The light in this tabernacle presentation is the Word of God. But it's a different type of word. The bread is the Logos, the complete counsel of God, forever settled in the heavens, never changing. It is, if you would, your Bible. But the light is what we would call the Rhema word. It's God-breathed. It's illuminating. It's revelatory. It is fresh and immediate. And the prophet, the Apostle Paul, echoes the Old Testament and said, the word of prophecy is nigh thee, even in thy mouth. You say, well, what is that about, saying, I believe there's a revival in this school, or I believe there's a revival in that school? Everything begins in the kingdom of God. Nothing happens without the spoken word. Nothing happens without God-breathed word. Nothing happens without the utterance of the hope or the potential or the prospect of the word of God. So the first thing you do is you stand in the middle of your problem, you stand in the middle of your trouble or in your struggle, and you stand and you begin to talk about what God is going to do and what God is able to do and what God has by his word spoken to your heart. But it can't lay in a table of stone or in a black bound book on a shelf somewhere. It's got to be loosed in the air. It's got to be loosed in the reality of your day and your moment and your time and your generation. And that's the power of the revelatory word of God. We're going to read tonight in Exodus 25 and just a physical description of the candlestick. And thou shalt make a candlestick of pure gold. Of beaten work shall the candlestick be made. His shaft, his branches, his bowls, his knops, his flowers shall be of the same. It's a very complex design. 6 branches shall come out of the sides of it. 3 branches of the candlestick out of the one side. 3 on the other side. The bowls made like almonds. And the knops and the almonds and the flowers. Verse 34. And the candlestick shall be 4 bowls made like almonds. And these are going to be reservoirs for the oil, and it's going to be fueled. The candlestick, the fire of the candle, is going to be fueled by oil. In verse 36, they're going to be made out of 1 beaten work of pure gold. The artistry here is just breathtaking. And thou shalt make 7 lamps thereof, and they shall light the lamps thereof, that they may give light over against it. And the tongs thereof and the snuff dishes thereof shall be of pure gold. Of 1 talent, 100 pounds of pure gold shall he make it. With all these vessels, and look that thou make them after their pattern which was showed thee in the mount. He said, make it like that one that's in the heavens. Make it like that one that's in the tabernacle or the temple of God in heaven. If you're glad for the word of God tonight, let's give him praise and thanks. As you're seated, lift up your voice. Lift up your praise. Thank God for his word that is forever settled in the heavens. We praise you, mighty God, and we magnify you, and we worship you for the privilege of handling your word in this house tonight. Praise God. Praise God. It was neat watching Sister Mary Pintara pray, a young lady through right down here on the end of this pew this morning. And I thought how awesome is that, that one of our more mature sisters is down here laying her hands on the head of a young lady, and she's, I don't know who she was with or where she came from, but she was talking in tongues, and for a while there, she was in another world altogether, and just a beautiful outpouring of the Holy Ghost. If you can see in our Bible study chart photograph, the candlestick is right in front of the veil. We talked about this morning, the showbread was placed in front of the veil. These are the closest things to the Shekinah glory of God and to a person entering into that intimacy with God, and all of the primary powerful things of God in that Holy of Holies are there by the power of the Word of God. Those things, that altar of incense, which is where, when we get there, we'll be dealing with prayer and praise, and the candlestick and the showbread are indicative of the Word of God. And so there's this strong suggestion that in the process of the tabernacle, the light is present at the point of moving into the Holy of Holies, or the Word of God as light. When they're moving in and out of the process of God, the only light they have is the light that is generated by that candlestick. You can't do this. this without a fresh word from God. You can, listen to me, you can do church with dead men's bones and dead men's sermons and dead men's ideas and old archaic structures and traditions and all, but you can't have what's moving in this altar and touching lives tonight without a fresh move of the Holy Ghost, without a fresh word and a fresh revelation. Praise God. And without that, it's just religion. And without that, I don't want to have anything to do with it. But you can't function in the physical tabernacle without the light of God. And you can't function in the process, the redemptive process of God, for yourself or for anybody else without a fresh word. I'm just going to tell you right now, it doesn't matter how much you know about the stock market. It doesn't matter how much you know about gaming or about the NFL or the NBA. Those things, if you like those things and their hobbies to you, you do that. But I'm telling you, at the core of your life, there is nothing that will do for you what the kingdom of God will do for you. And this thing has to be fresh and real in your life. And if you get bored with the kingdom of God, the kingdom hasn't changed. You've just grown an appetite for something else. Somebody say, praise the Lord. So as we dealt with the showbread this morning, the showbread is emblematic of the word of God, eaten and assimilated and sustaining, becoming a part of the person, and the person becoming a part of that, the logos, the word hidden in our hearts that we might not sin against God. But that candlestick is emblematic of the word of God with a different type of manifestation. It is God's word as vision. It is God's word as light. God's word in revelatory ways. It is what the Greek would call rhema. It is what the psalmist was talking about in Psalms 119. The entrance of thy word giveth light. It giveth understanding to the simple. You can stand in a moment befuddled by your life and by your choices, and you might not know what to do. But if you'll take the time to bow a knee and counsel the word of God and walk in his presence for a moment. Is there a witness in this house that would say, I called on the Lord and the Lord heard my cry, and God pulled back the covers and he made it plain and he showed me which way I should go? God, praise God. So a prophetic word is a word received in prayer, a word coming in revelation. And we need a word from God. We need a fresh word from God. We need the logos. We need the established, forever settled word to craft our structure and build our lives and frame our thinking and be the platform for our understanding and knowledge and wisdom and all of that. But we need a fresh breath of the word of God. We need a unique, individualized moment where God breathes into our life uniquely for us and for our day and for our moment. I'm glad God talks to you, but I need God to talk to me. I'm glad you've heard from God, but I need God to speak to me. It's not just for the priest, it's not just for the preacher, but everybody filled with the Holy Ghost is a royal priesthood, and you've got a ministry and you've got a calling and you've got a job to do in your kingdom service for your generation. My wife is very sensitive to the Holy Ghost in a lot of ways. She has been an enormous blessing in my life, and she has this her approach to the things of God in terms of prayer and all is vastly different than my approach, and the results that she gets are just astonishing to me sometimes. That God is so careful to respond to us in small things, and he talks to us, but not only small things, big things. But I think the little things that he does helps us to believe him for greater things. And Brother Booker, by the way, preaches a sermon on that. It's worth your time. But she was praying. Dawson, she was praying about you. She was praying. It was when you guys were in California and you were all banged out and you were in a mess. Yes, you were. And she was praying because it was like, we're going to get him to come to Birmingham and see what God can do with him. But it's going to cause all kind of family friction when that happens. When that happens, there's going to be friction in the house among siblings. And anyway, and beside that, something that enormous, bringing another person under your wing or into your circle, is a risk. It's always a risk. And you were nuts. And that was a risk. And you're still nuts, but you're sanctified nuts. It's okay. And she prayed. She was praying, God, what to do about Dawson? Because what God does with her, he moves on her heart and develops a burden and a passion and an idea associated with that. And then she prays about it, and then he gives her the answer. And she's praying about Dawson, what to do about Dawson. Should I bring this nephew to Birmingham? And God gave her a scripture. And it's one of those things where God speaks to you by the established word of God. And gave her a scripture. She could not have told you what that scripture has to say or anything about the context or the area it is in. But it says this, and they shall bring all your brethren for an offering unto the Lord out of the nations upon horses and in chariots and in litters and upon mules and upon swift beasts to my holy mountain. And he's talking about bringing Jews to Jerusalem. But he answered her prayer. And he said, I don't care how you get him here. Bring him on a donkey, bring him on a mule, bring him on a litter, bring him in a chariot, but get him to the house of God. And she closed the book, and the rest is history. And he came for a 2-week stay, and we can't get rid of him. But he's here. But tonight, he's here. And he's in the altar praying for people. And he's married a wonderful wife in the house of God. And he's got little boys that are down in the altar worshiping God and magnifying God. I don't want to do this my way. I want to hear from God. I don't want to stumble through the process of God in the dark. I need the light of God. I need the candlesticks of God in my life. Those candlesticks have bowls. The bowls hold oil. Oil is typology for the Holy Ghost. And all you need to do is you get yourself wrapped up and tied up and tangled up in the Holy Ghost and have a move of God in your life, and light just happens. You press into the spiritual things of God. You seek first the kingdom of God. Don't sit in a carnal mindset in the middle of your problems and think that God's going to come do business with you just because you're in need or just because you're desperate. But he's looking for somebody that'll walk the process of God. You draw close to God. You get yourself filled up and running over with the Holy Ghost. It is inevitable. You'll begin to hear from God, and God will begin to give you song, and he'll speak to your mind and to your heart, speak to your problems. Praise God. This is a candlestick word. This is a rhema word. When I was praying about the what we call the new sanctuary on Ruffner Road back in 2000 or 1999, I was walking around in the little addition down in the bottom of the old church, the red brick church there on Ruffner Road. And I'm just talking to God. So, God, I don't care. Whatever you want to do, that's what we want to do. I don't care if we build, if we buy, if we move. I don't care. I just want to know what you think about it, and whatever you think about it, that's what we'll do. If you say move, we'll sell out and we'll move. If you say buy somewhere else, we'll do that. If you want us to build something right here, we will build that. And he said, First Chronicles 28 and 10. And if you'd have held a gun to my head, I didn't know what First Chronicles 28 and 10 would say. But it says, take heed now, for the Lord hath chosen thee to build an house for the sanctuary. Be strong and do it. It was like, boom, clarity, you know. It was like, and I never looked back. I never had a doubt about it. And it takes a couple of years to get all the financing together, to get the architect and the engineers and the contractor and float the bids to different construction companies and get a feel for the market and all of it. It takes a couple of years to get all that stuff in motion and all. And it's a lot of work, and there's setbacks and all kinds of things. But the setbacks don't matter when you've heard from God. And there's a rhema word moving in your life. There's a revelatory moment working in your life right now. Praise God. By the way, we've already had people get the Holy Ghost at Anthony Underwood Automotive. I think there's another outpouring. I think there's another season coming there. Praise God. Praise God. It's a rhema word. It's from the candlestick. There is an established, forever settled word, your Bible there. But that Bible has to breathe. It has to be alive. And there's the light of the word of God, the rhema word of God. So the logos, if you would, is the whole. And the rhema is a specific subset or part or verbalization of that whole of the word of God. Sometimes a chapter and verse, sometimes a line of text with a whole concept tied to it. But I'm so glad we can hear from God, and we need to hear from God, and we have heard from God, but we're looking down the barrel of a brand new year, and I don't want to go there by myself. I want God to walk in there with us, and I want us to hear from God. I want to know God's idea about every ministry. I want to know God's idea about the service structure. I want to know God's idea about how to build a house and build a family and love people and win people. We started in 1987. It's been over 30 years ago. The market is different. The world is different. Millennials are different. People are different. And in every age, there's always somebody that says, well, it just doesn't work anymore. Or they don't want the gospel anymore. Or people aren't hungry. That's a lie from the pit of hell. That's not a word of life from God. I'll tell you what it is. It may be a different market. It may be a different season. But God's got the answer to the hunger in the heart of every man and woman. Yes, he does. We need to hear from God. We need to hear from God. Almost the entire book of Daniel is God-breathed rhema word. Daniel is about to die because all the wise men are about to die. And when the sergeant of the guards comes to him and tells him that they're all going to die, then Daniel went to his house and made the thing known to Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah, his companions, that they would desire the mercies of the God of heaven concerning this secret, what the king had dreamed, and now he couldn't remember, and the wise men didn't know the answer to the riddle, and now all the wise men were going to die, and they were a part of that group, that Daniel and his fellows should not perish with the rest of the wise men of Babylon. Then was the secret revealed unto Daniel in a night vision. Then Daniel blessed the God of heaven. I guess he did. And Daniel answered and said, blessed be the name of God forever and ever, for wisdom and might are his. If you need to know what to do, you need to source the greatest source of information and knowledge and wisdom. It comes from God. God can give you something. I'm all about college. I'm all about degree systems. I'm all about you being the best at every secular activity you're involved in, and God will use all of those. But friend of mine, in the middle of all of that, every apostolic needs a fresh flow of the Spirit of God and the Word of God in his or her life. Daniel answered and said, blessed be the name of the Lord. And he changes times and seasons, removes kings and sets up kings, and giveth wisdom to the wise and knowledge to them that know understanding. He revealeth the deep and secret things. If you need an answer, you need to go to God. He knoweth what is in the darkness, and the light dwelleth with him. It is a sad, sad thing to see an apostolic sitting in a dark place with misery hanging over them like a cloud, and wondering why they can't get their life to work the way they want it to work. But they're seeking all the sources in the secular network around them, and they're not seeking the wisdom and the answer and the power and the word of God. You need to find yourself a place to pray. You put in time for everything else. You're putting in time on this and that and the other. But my God, when you're in a dark moment, it's time to pray. It's time to seek the face of God. You need to call out upon God. God hears and God answers prayer. Is there a witness in the house? He said, I thank thee and praise thee, O God of my fathers, who hath given me wisdom and might and made me know what we desired of you. He went back to the king. Daniel answered in the presence of the king and said, the secret which the king had demanded cannot the wise men, the astrologers, the magicians, the soothsayers show unto the king. But there is a God in heaven that reveals secrets and makes known to the king Nebuchadnezzar what shall be in the latter days. But I'm gonna amen what Brother Stephen was saying tonight and tell you God's not interested in a lot of miscellaneous things. He's not interested in a lot of secular things. He is interested in his plan and his process and his purpose. And when you are engaged in that, then you'll have a free flow of the Spirit of God. And ancillary to that is that I find that when I get involved in God's purposes and in God's dream and in God's process and the things that are important to Him and seek first the kingdom of God, all these other things just start opening up organically and naturally in my life. And God begins to bless in ways that things I haven't even asked Him about, He begins to do. Good things, sweet things, attentive things, because you're in the plan, purpose of God. Peter talks about this. He's talking about the Mount of Transfiguration and a revelatory moment in his life. And this voice which came from heaven, we heard. This is Peter and James and John. They went up to the Mount of Transfiguration with Jesus when we were with him in the Holy Mount. And we have also a more sure word of prophecy, whereunto you do well that you take heed, as unto a light that shineth in a dark place. Here again, the convergence of the idea of the word, the prophetic, and light. Until the day dawn and the day star rise in your hearts, or the coming of the Lord. Knowing this first, that no prophecy of the Scripture is of any private interpretation, for the prophecy came not in old time by the will of man, but by holy men of God. They spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. And I'll just tell you, you and your experience in the Holy Ghost is just as dynamic as any Old Testament prophet. You and your experience in the Holy Ghost is just as valid as anybody that you see the name on the title page of the books of the Old or the New Testament. I just want you to know, it's the same Holy Ghost. It's the same Word of God. It's the same process. It's the same agenda of God. All God needs is someone to be willing and someone to embrace not only the potential, the responsibility. In Second Chronicles, Jehoshaphat is afraid for his kingdom, and the nations around have gathered to do war against Judah. And Jehoshaphat feared and set himself to seek the Lord and proclaimed a fast throughout all of Judah. And Judah gathered themselves together to ask help of the Lord. Even out of all the cities of Judah, they came to seek the Lord. I don't have an answer for Birmingham, but I know somebody that does. I don't have an answer for your family, but I know somebody that does. I don't have an answer for your trial, your valley, your struggle right now, but I know somebody that does. And like Jehoshaphat, next week, we're going to gather together. We're going to gather all the people. We're going to have a time of prayer and fasting. And just as God spoke to Jehoshaphat in this day, God's going to speak to us. God's going to move in this house. God's going to move in your family. God's going to move in your heart and in your ministry. Somebody say praise God. And all Judah stood before the Lord with their little ones, their wives, and their children. This is Judah. This is Jehoshaphat, the king of Judah. And here is his perfect and excellent and simple prayer. He said, "We do not know what to do, neither do we have any strength, but our eyes are on you." Boy, God loves that kind of prayer. You just lay yourself out before God and humble yourself, and God loves it when you are humble. But when you're cocky and you think you've got it all together, God will let you run into a buzzsaw or two until you find out that you probably do need some help navigating this life with God on your side. And then they stood before the Lord. Then upon Jehaziel, the son of Zechariah, the son of Benaiah, the son of Jael, the son of Mattaniah, a Levite of the sons of Asaph, he's just giving you his credentials, came the Spirit of the Lord in the midst of the congregation, and he said, God's Spirit came upon him, and he said, "Hearken ye, all Judah, inhabitants of Jerusalem, and thou, King Jehoshaphat, thus saith the Lord unto you, be not afraid nor dismayed by reason of this great multitude, for the battle is not yours,
but it is God's. This is where they send the choir out by the cliffs of Ziz. They go down and the choir comes in and all the enemy rises up and begins to fall apart and destroy itself. I want you to know, if you'll get yourself in a position to hear from God and then you'll walk in what God has given you, your enemy doesn't have a chance. Your oppressor doesn't have a chance. Your adversary doesn't have a chance. I just want you to know, you need to get plugged in to the flow of God in the moment where you're standing and ask God to speak into your situation. Let's give God a little bit of praise right now. Let's magnify him. Somebody that's hungry for an answer, praise him. Somebody that's hungry for a solution, praise him. Somebody that wants to see revival break out in your city and in your work site, praise him. Give him some glory. Give him some praise. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
So the word of God comes in a specific tone, in a specific moment, in regard to a specific set of needs or conditions. Here's the candlestick again. We run into this twice more, once in Zechariah chapter 4 and another time in Revelation chapter 1. Both of these are dynamic revelatory moments. Here's Zechariah chapter 4. Beginning in verse 1. And the angel that talked with me came again and waked me as a man that is wakened out of his sleep. This is Zechariah. And said unto me, what seest thou? And I said, I have looked, and behold, a candlestick of gold. And what he's seeing the menorah, the candlestick, like in the tabernacle or the temple. But what he's actually seeing is the one in the heavens. As a man that is wakened out of sleep, he said, what do you see? I see a candlestick and a bowl on the top of it, and his seven lamps thereon, seven pipes to the seven lamps which are upon the top thereof, and two olive trees by it, one on the right side of the bowl and the other on the left side of the bowl. These are not manually refilled by the hands around them, but rather these have their own olive trees, and they're connected with pipes to the olive trees, and there's a free flow of olive oil, constant flow of the Holy Ghost there to lighten that place that Zechariah is seeing. So I spoke to the angel that talked with me, saying, what are these, my Lord? Then the angel that talked with me answered and said unto me, knowest thou not what these be? Sometimes angels are really bemused by the fact that we don't know more than we know about how simple we are. And I said, no, my Lord, I don't know. I don't have a clue. Then he answered and spake unto me, saying, this is the word of the Lord unto Zerubbabel. And here again, the candlesticks, as it was in the tabernacle plan, clearly an emblem or it signifies the word of God. This candlestick, this is the word of the Lord to Zerubbabel. Zerubbabel is the post-exilic prophet that will rebuild the temple that Jesus walked into and the apostles walked into, although it had been really refurbished by Herod, but it's called Zerubbabel's temple. And this is some 400 plus years before Jesus Christ. This is the word of the Lord to Zerubbabel, saying, not by might nor by power, but by my spirit, saith the Lord. Saying, Zerubbabel, don't worry that they've shut the project down. Zerubbabel, don't worry that you don't have the resources. Don't worry that you're not strong enough, you're not able enough, and you don't have enough to continue to do this thing that you're passionate about. It looks like the world around you has closed down the work that you're trying to do. But he said, here's the word of God, as signified by the candlestick. This is the word of God to Zerubbabel. It's not by might. It's not by power. It's not by your bank account. It's not by your capacity. It's not by your talent. It's not by your strength, but it's by my spirit, saith the Lord. If you've got the spirit of God moving on your side, nothing else is of any significance. The only variable is, how can I get the spirit of God moving in my life? Let's clap our hands. Let's lift our voice. Let's magnify God. Not by might, not by power. I don't want to hear the list of the reasons of why it can't be, because it's by God's Spirit.
Well, I'm not strong enough. That's right. Well, I don't have enough. That's right. Well, I'm not good enough. That's right. Give me all of that. We'll talk about that as long as you like. It's totally irrelevant because it's not about those things. It's about His Spirit. And here's the word of God to Zerubbabel. Who are you, O great mountain? Who are you, this that stands before Zerubbabel? Who are you, this impediment, this obstacle that stands before my prophecy and my prophet? He said, you shall become like a plane. I'm going to move you off the face of the earth. I just want to give somebody a word from God tonight and tell you, you may feel like you're up against a great mountain of resistance, something that you don't have the power to move, but I'm going to tell you, it's not by your might, it's not by your power, but it's by His Spirit. And there's a word in the house tonight. I'm going to move that mountain. I'm going to move that mountain. It's going to be as though it were a plane. And he, Zerubbabel, shall bring forth the headstone thereof, this temple cornerstone, the finished work, with shoutings crying, grace, grace unto it. We see the candlestick again in Revelation chapter 1. John says, I was in the Spirit on the Lord's day and heard behind me a great voice like a trumpet saying, I am Alpha and Omega, the first and the last. And what thou seest, write in a book and send it to the seven churches which are in Asia, with the listing of which follow thereafter. Verse 12, and I turned to see the voice that spake with me. And being turned, I saw seven golden candlesticks. And here's the candlestick from the temple, the candlestick from heaven again. And again, John's not seeing the one from the temple of Jerusalem or from the tabernacle of Moses. He's seeing the one that's in the heavens. And he said, in the midst of the seven candlesticks, one like the Son of Man, clothed with a garment down to the foot, girt about the paps with a golden girdle. And he speaks of him in these terms. His head and hair were white like wool, as white as snow. His eyes like flame of fire. His feet like fine brass, as though they burned in a furnace. And his voice as the sound of many waters. And he had in his right hand seven stars. And out of his mouth went a sharp two-edged sword. And his countenance was as the sun shineth in his strength. And when I saw him, I fell at his feet as dead. And he laid his right hand upon me, saying, fear not. I am the first, the last. I am he that liveth and was dead. Behold, I'm alive forevermore. Amen. And have the keys of hell and death. He's about to give him the book, what we know as the Apocalypse, the book of Revelation. He's about to give him fresh breathed word. And it comes to him by that candlestick manifestation again, just like Zechariah saw. But what John sees, he sees the end of all revelation. He sees the fully orbed power manifestation of God. He sees God in the midst of the candlesticks. I want you to know something about this. He's about to go on a tear and have him write letters to all the seven churches of Asia Minor, and he finds fault with all of them except that little perhaps end time church of Philadelphia. But he gives instruction to them about how they can recover and how they can repent and how they can be made whole again. But I want you to know, he's giving you all these things that are wrong, and some of them are pretty horrendous. You've got that woman Jezebel in your midst, or you're worshiping the false god Baal, or all kinds of things, the doctrine of the Nicolaitans, and all of those things are going on in those churches. But I want you to never lose sight of what John saw. He saw Jesus in the midst of the candlesticks. God's church always has people coming, always has people going. Always has people failing, and always has people rising up out of failure. But God is in the midst of the candlesticks. He's always in the midst of His church. Somebody thank God for that just a little bit right now. What John sees here, he sees the deified Christ. He sees the Imago Dei. He sees the image of the invisible God, Colossians 1. He sees the express image of God's person, Hebrews 1 and 3. He sees Jesus, the Word of God in brilliant light, expressing, always emanating, always revealing, always disclosing. It is the nature of God. He does it simply by His nature. You will not come to a day where God is reticent to give you revelatory knowledge, where God holds back. God will, if you make your way into His presence, there's an answer there for you. If you'll make your way into His presence in a serious way, I don't mean in some casual when you have an extra 5 minutes way, with just, it's like loose change, just something that's not very important to you, not like your work is, not like your hobbies are, not like your other things are. But if you'll give God a primary place in your life, God will pull back the veil and He'll release revelatory understanding in your life. Somebody say, praise the Lord. Praise God. Sam, somebody, come play. Something about Do you have anybody that can sing that Bread of Heaven song? I don't know. We better not wing it. Praise God. You know the vinculum. You know the creation story. First a moving of the Spirit. Then God says. And the Word is manifest as light. Let there be light. This is always the starting place. This is always where you regroup to. This is always a part of your daily approach to God. I'm so glad for the process that He laid out in the tabernacle plan. It's so instructive to us because we can walk that very process ourselves. Light is vision. Where there's no vision, the people perish. Light is life. In Him was life, and the life was the light of men. Light is cleansing. But if we walk in the light as He is in the light, we have fellowship one with another. And the blood of Jesus, His Son, cleanses us from all sin. Light is a disinfectant. You let God shine into your life. All kinds of things get better. Praise God. In the parable of the foolish virgins, the problem with the foolish was that they ran out of oil. And when you run out of oil, you run out of light. And when you run out of light, you're back where you started. In a world that is void, covered in darkness. But the answer to that, you just need a moving of the Spirit. You don't need to cry again. You don't need to moan again. You don't need to fret again. You just need to find the moving of the Spirit of God. It's a simple process. And you won't feel like it, especially when you're depressed or you're broken or your heart's. But He just says, clap your hands, all you people. Shout to God with a voice of triumph. Make a joyful noise. Make a loud noise unto the Lord. Praise Him with stringed instruments. Praise Him with high-sounding cymbals and loud cymbals. Find your way back to the process of God. I have felt the Holy Ghost all through this service tonight. Feel it in a wonderful and intense way right now. The abiding presence of God. It's because of your prayers. It's because of your worship. It's because you're faithful to His Word and you're faithful to His revelation. You're walking in this, and God is an abiding presence in your life. Praise God. Praise God. I gotta quit. It's 8:30. I need to let you go. Somebody that wants a fresh breathed word of God, just remember how the process works. If it's been a while since you talked to Him, you need to start with repentance. If my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and leave their wicked ways, then I'll hear He said, I'll answer them. I'll heal their land. I'll forgive their sins. You might want to start in repentance. You might want to put your hand on somebody or take somebody's hand. You might want to reach over, lay your hand on somebody. Ah, that's right, that's right, that's right.
You are. Jesus.